Good morning. My name is Leslie Franson. Would you please stand, if you're able, to hear the Gospel of Matthew, verses 13 through 20, chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
And indeed, alleluia, amen. Good morning, church. Oh, someone said good morning, pastor. Thank you. God bless. Bless you, choir. What joy this morning. How are you all today? Good. You here with me now? You're not thinking about later today? Gosh, it sounds like what's coming up this afternoon is a big part of our community, isn't it? And who we are. But we're glad that you've taken time to come and worship with us this morning. At Glenmar, we're starting a new sermon series today about Christian community. It's actually based on, has its basis in a small Christian classic called Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And so for the next several weeks, the pastors will be illuminating God's Word and bringing out some of the experiences of Dietrich Bonhoeffer as we talk about life in community. Well, the Super Bowl certainly brings people together in community, doesn't it? That's one of the powerful things that it does. Maybe not always makes them one in community, but it brings them together. And what I know is that even if your team isn't playing, your favorite team, or even if you haven't watched a football game the entire year, you just might get together with some folks today. Right, and watch a game and share each other's company and have some fun and some time together with each other. I remember when I was living in Japan and working at an international country club in Tokyo that one of the things that would bring the community together, bring Americans together from all across the city would be the Super Bowl. And we would broadcast it on TVs in the ballroom in the middle of the night. Because of the time difference, you know, they wanted to watch it live, not a delayed broadcast. And people would come out from all over and get together around their passion for football. Well, one of the things I want to say today is that there's something even bigger than football, bigger than the Super Bowl, that brings us together in community. And that something is someone. Is Jesus Christ, who brings us together this morning in Christian community. I recently hosted a dinner at my house last weekend as one of the ministries of our church that is trying to help create connection and community here at Glenmar. And I know a couple of people who were there are here in worship today. But this ministry called Dinners for Eight was held at my house, and here's how it started for me. I signed up on a list that said I was willing to host a dinner at my home, and then some other people signed up on another list that said they were willing to come to a dinner on January 29th, and last Saturday evening, seven people who really didn't know each other, who were from all walks of life, different ages and stages, marital status, different faith journeys, and from all different parts of the country, came together and gathered around my dinner table. And what I was so excited about, ultimately, was not that the church has this ministry of connection and community that was going to help us grow closer to each other, but it's because I became aware that the experience of eating dinner together, and not just that it was a great meal, but the experience of having dinner together was not what made us a community. What made us a community was the fact that we had gathered together because of our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what brought us together around that table originally. And it's the same thing here at church, that we are not a community just because we worship together or are part of a Bible study or serve in mission alongside of each other. We are a community because of Jesus Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this, "Christian community is community through and in Jesus Christ." And the Christian community is who Jesus, in our scripture this morning in Matthew, is talking to. He's talking to his gathered group of followers, the people who have said yes to his invitation to follow him. Now, I spent a lot of time unpacking our scripture this morning, trying to understand the images of salt and light and Jesus' use of them, but I realized that what was perhaps more important was the context in which Jesus was speaking. He's speaking to his disciples, his gathered group of followers, and just before he says the words that Leslie read, he has said this to them. The Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the people who persecute you. Rejoice and be glad, your reward is in heaven." And Jesus sums up this blessing and sermon to his disciples and says, "You're the salt of the earth. You who are humble and sad and shy, who have a passion for doing right, you're the salt of the earth." He says to them, "You're the light of the world. Those of you who have compassion, who are pure in heart, who seek and strive to make peace, those of you who take it on the chin, so to speak, for standing up for what is right, you yourselves are salt and light." The preacher, pastor, and author Eugene Peterson, who wrote a popular paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, says this: if he had just one last sermon to preach, that what he would preach would be to go home and be good to those in your household, treat your children with respect, do a good job at work. He says he would preach to be salt in the real world, and that would involve being genuinely real with real people, listening to them well and treating them as the little images of God that they are. That's kind of what Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. Now, something you might not know about salt is that salt itself is not actually found in our bodies. Our body doesn't make salt. The only salt our body has in it comes from outside of itself, from the earth, from the things we take in. That salt all by itself is not really a particularly useful element. Its value comes in its application to things. We learned that this week, right? When we had snow-covered roads and walkways and the temperature was so cold that really the only thing that would melt it was salt. But it wasn't salt that sat on top of the ice, was it? That wasn't any good. It was salt that was applied to melt the cold, hardened, icy earth. In the same way, Jesus is saying, if you want the world to know about this life-giving and changing message I have, I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to pour yourselves out. Get out of yourselves and apply yourselves in the world. For some, it's how you get thrown into the world as salt, into sort of a heated up, boiling over mixture of contention in your home or your workplace or school or community. And as you apply yourself, you find that you bring out the best in others. For some, it's preserving traditions and memories and relationships and integrity as you are a Christian. For some, your application is in healing when you visit and pray and listen to someone who's hurting. And for some, the application is actually putting salt in a macaroni and cheese casserole that you bake and deliver to the Route 1 day shelter. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus says then also, you're the light of the world. You're a city on a hill. A city on a hill can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and hides it, but lets it shine to give light to everyone who's in the house. And he says, let your light shine before others in such a way that they can see the good works that you do and glorify God in heaven. For some of you, the light is like the light of an oven that warms your home and cooks food that brings people together around a table in community. For others, it's like a candle lit for prayer. For all of us, our light is God's word. A lamplight for everyday living, for the path we are walking, for our spiritual journey, for every footstep that we take. That is scripture from Psalm 119. We have to become light for one another and to the whole world. And we praise Jesus when we take this light into the world. The light Jesus is talking about, though, is light from within, a light from Christ. It's not a light from the outside, like the glow of a campfire that we're sitting around, or the reflection of a big screen TV like we're going to experience this afternoon. No, the light is light that comes from within, like lights in a window that shine out like from a city on a hill. So when I look out this morning, what I'm seeing are, who can give me an idea? 300 ushers, about 300 cities on a hill. That's what I see this morning in you. It's a light that was never meant to be contained. As we shine Scripture says, all that is darkness will come to light. Now that means something for the whole world, but it also means something for us as individuals and as a community. It means, as all that is darkness comes to light, that we will see ourselves and the world more clearly. As we see and live with the things that we haven't been able or wanted to see before. The things that need to change, or the things that are going to call us to bear with maybe more patience with one another. It's a light that is meant to attract others by its radiance and luminescence. Pastor Matt said recently in the visioning conference that was held here at the church that his prayer and hope is that 200 more people might be connected to Jesus Christ through Glenmar Church over the next couple of years. Well, our lights shining within and out on the world are one of the things that will bring people into our community. And you know, one of the things I love about our church is the light. I meet people in our community when they find out, who I am and where I'm working, that they've seen us. And while they may not even know that we're a church, they've seen our light. They said, I always wondered what that place was because it's lit up all hours of the day and night. I said, well, we're a church. We're on a hill. People can see us. They might not have come here yet, but they've noticed that we're here. The Christian community attracts others to the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Because we shine for a purpose, not for ourselves, but for others and for the glory of God. We shine to attract and root people in the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. And our message is different from the world, which says, community accepts you just who you are, for just who you are. It doesn't ask anything of you but to join and pay your dues and do some things. But the Christian community lives out the realistic expectation that we need each other and that it just might cost something besides money, giving money to be here. It might cost us something as we grow and change and serve others. I have friends. I have a number of friends who accept me for just who I am and never really ask much of anything at all from me. But I have a couple in particular whom I deeply value, who will listen to me, who are willing to tell me where I've messed up or where I'm about to take a step that serves myself or my ego more than it serves God or others. I have a couple friends who will pray for me to take the next steps that really honor God and reflect God to the world. And they don't tell me just how great I've done or how far I've come, but when I could have done better, how far I have to go, and how I'm not there yet. And they also remind me, thank goodness, that God loves me and that it's not up to me, but by the grace of God living in me, that I am able to continue. Jesus says, let your light shine. Right? A flashlight kept in a basket or under a basket doesn't really do anyone any good. And it's really not very useful if it just shines on me or on any one of us, or especially if it shines like this. Scary, Pastor. No. The light works best when it's held out to illumine a way for us to walk on our spiritual journey, a way to call and attract others who are seeking and searching. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men in a way that they can see your good works and glorify God in heaven." We also learned last week from Pastor Matt in the Ignite sessions that serving might be a new entry point for discipleship in today's world, that people might be attracted to our light, to the mission of Jesus Christ as they come alongside others in community in service. See, being disciples is not the same as joining the church. It's not the same as building up our membership. Being a follower of Jesus Christ means more than just coming to church. From time to time, I meet people who are members of churches but don't attend, and they'll say, "Oh yeah, I belong to, the name of the church, not Glenmar. But I hardly ever go. To tell you the truth, it's just so hard to go to church. It's just so hard to get there. It's so hard on Sunday morning to get to church. But I belong to church." In my experience, though, for me, the hardest part was not coming to church on Sunday. It was living out my faith the other 6 days and 23 hours of the week. That's when I needed faith and others alongside me. We have to live it out. One of the foundations of United Methodism is that what we believe and what we do go together, that we live out our faith in the world. Jesus' words for us today, for those of us who will hear, are that you are salt and light. You yourselves are salt and light in the world, and this changes everything. See, God is not just out there in Jesus Christ shining light on us. And we're not here looking at God apart from us. We look out from Jesus Christ who lives in us, through us, with us, shines in us. That's a big shift. It's a light from within, sort of like this. Its light is contained within. See, we don't make a difference in the world if we keep our faith hidden. Can we put our faith in action so that it points to God? So that it makes the world different, brings others into relationship with God. My challenge in prayer and hope community is to ask, what will it take for us to be salt and light in the world as a community? Last month, Sergeant Shriver died. Some of you know who that is. Husband of Eunice Kennedy Shriver. Yes, of the Kennedys. But Sergeant Shriver and his wife Eunice were the founders of Special Olympics. Sergeant Shriver was a deeply religious man and committed to serving the community. And he went to Mass almost every morning, and his biographer, in taking down his life story, said, "Why do you do that? Why do you go to church every single morning?" And Sergeant Shriver said, "Because I need God every day." We need God every day in community. with one another, with Jesus Christ holding us together. What will it take for us to be the community of salt and light in the world?